Well, today is our last message in the series, Living Stones. I hope that this series has been a blessing to you. I hope that it's encouraged you to be the people of God. Just joining us for the first time today, or maybe you missed some of the messages. So I just want to give you a quick overview of what we've taught, and then we'll jump into today. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also like living stones. In other words, the New Testament teaches us that New Testament Christians are living stones, and I'll explain to you what that means, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So, as a believer, what does this verse say about you? The first thing is, you are not a brick. Okay, so bricks are man-made, they're kind of factory-produced, they're all the same, they're all very similar, they're uniform, they all kind of do the same thing. They're made by man, for man, to glorify man. You are not a brick in the kingdom of God. Secondly, you are a living stone. You are God's masterpiece. Different backgrounds with different stories, with different strengths and gifts and abilities. And he draws us together like living stones, and he builds us into a spiritual house that we might be a dwelling place for his presence. We also learned that the New Testament says you are a ligament. Say that word, ligament. Ligament. Isn't that fun? That's not a word we usually say, is it? But you are a ligament. Every Christian is like the connective tissue that holds the body together. Your human body, you didn't have them, you couldn't walk, you couldn't sit, you couldn't stand, you couldn't move, you couldn't do anything that you try to do physically. In the same way, like ligaments. And so we all have different gifts, we have different abilities. Some people teach, some people sing, some people have the gift of hospitality, of administration, of help, of mercy, of encouragement. But we all have that's alike. We have one unifying function as a New Testament believer, and that is that we are to function like a ligament. We are to function like a connective tissue in the body, so we're all responsible for building up Jesus' family by building spiritual relationships. We have that in common. All right, and then lastly, you are a temple builder. So the people of the world are tower builders. They build systems and structures and towers, and they're made by man, for man, to glorify man. But God has called the New Testament believer to be a temple builder. We are living stones drawn together, and we build up the body of Jesus Christ so that the church might be the dwelling place of God on earth, so that we might glorify him as a living stone. Now, I shared this with you. If you were here last year for this series, you might recognize this, but I want to share it again because I've been very encouraged by the way the conversation is changing in the American church. I think the American church has been stuck for a long time and a little too maybe cultural in its Christianity, maybe a little too shallow in its Christianity, but I see the conversation shifting, particularly after COVID, to go deeper. And just so you'll know, we're not the only church having this conversation. I want to read a quote to you from Pastor J.D. Greer. It's a few paragraphs, but I want you to catch it. About a year ago, he shared this. His church, Summit Church in North Carolina, a church of about 10,000 people, he said this: how quickly do you identify and reach out to disconnected people in this church? That's the question he was asking. I hear so many people complain that they went to some church and nobody talked to them. What if we reserve the first 7 minutes right before church starts and the 7 minutes after just to connect with people? Wouldn't that be a way of demonstrating the gospel and saying, you matter here? It's one of the things that irritates me about those of you who cruise in 10 minutes late or leave 5 minutes before we dismiss. It's not that I'm mad that you're missing part of the service. It's that you treat church like it's a religious show instead of a welcoming family that you're a part of. When people say the church is unfriendly and feels like a big production, you're the problem. Now, I would never say that. I want you to know, I would never say any of that. I'm only... Look. Late sometimes, everybody, all that stuff. But he makes a point. And the point is church an event or is it a family? Is it a tower or is it a temple? Is it a system or is it the organ? That's the point he's making, and I think it's a good one. And so I've been encouraged by this deeper conversation because I think that we tended to ask ourselves, particularly before COVID, questions like this. I'm just going to call it an old question. How do we get as many people as possible to come to church on Sunday and keep coming to church on Sunday? Some churches being replaced by what I'll call a better question. And that is, how do we believe? Because nobody else is going to do that. The church is the only one that's going to do that. The local sports team isn't going to do it. Your employer's not going to do it. Amazon's not going to do it. Walmart's not going to do it. No one else is going to do it. Come living stones. Let me give you a few thoughts for today. Number one, allow your hunger for God to guide you into building relationships. Sometimes we build relationships because we realize we have a need in our life and we see someone else who may be able to help us with that need. We have a need in our marriage. We have a need. Maybe there's anxiety. Maybe there's depression. Maybe there's that's good. Jesus' family, there's healing in Jesus' family. Thank God. Sometimes we build relationships because we're family, there is community. And sometimes we reach out and build relationships because there's some area in our life that we really want to grow in, and we see someone else in the kingdom who's good at it or ahead of us at it, and we reach out to them, and they become like a mentor, and they help us grow. And that's also good because how many of you know we have mothers and fathers of faith in the kingdom and who can be mentors to us, and that's good. And all of that's great, but here's the thing. If your relationship building is not moving toward, I'm doing this because I want more of God, then that relationship at some point is eventually going to struggle. Why? Because it's not enough to hold you together. The relationship tends to fall apart. Why? Because the need has been met that drove you into the relationship. You move on to somebody else or to something else or to whatever gets your attention next. And so look, for those of you who, you know, maybe you wanted to grow and you grew and now you've moved on and it's kind of like, hey, thanks for and look, for every one of you who have been on the other end of a relationship when you were genuinely trying to build a spiritual relationship, to build up the body, to be a ligament, to do the thing. And you got, hey, the season has changed. You know, my need's been met. See ya. I am genuinely sorry for everyone who's experienced that because it hurts. It's very disappointing and it's very painful. And it hurts, but I want to also say this to you on the other side. Allow your desire for God to drive you to keep leaning in to build new spiritual relationships. Because you've been called by God to be a ligament in the body. First Peter 2, I want to back up one verse from the verse we read earlier, and it says this: as you come to break that apart for a minute. As you come to him, if your goal in relationship building is not, I'm doing this because I'm hungry for Jesus and I want more of him. If it's not an attempt to move toward Jesus, then there won't be a spiritual house built. There'll be a house built around a hobby or an interest or a need or a moment or something else. The chief cornerstone of Jesus, and when the storm comes, it won't hold together. Now, here's what else is interesting about this verse. It says, as you come to him, the, not a living stone, the living stone. And what happened to the living stone? What's the next word after the living stone? Rejected. Oh my goodness. I wonder what Jesus did wrong. I wonder what Jesus did wrong. I wonder what it was about him that wasn't good enough that caused humanity to reject him. Well, I hope you know the answer is nothing. So what I'm trying to show you is even the living stone experienced some rejection sometimes. So guess what? A living stone like me or you's definitely going to. But we've got to lean in anyway and say, you know what? I'm not here because it's all going to go perfect. I'm going to lean in because I want God. I want God in my life, and I want God's best in my life. And if that means I have to follow Jesus' footsteps of enduring some amount of rejection sometimes, I'm going to be willing. And man, that's just kind of like the messy truth, isn't it? You want to be willing to build a relationship you can't just sit by and say, I'm going to wait for someone to come get you. Nobody's going to come get you. You got to go get somebody. You know why? Cuz you're a living stone, right? You're not a brick. You're a ligament, you're not an appendix. I'll just let you Google that later. Okay, so what do we do? Build relationships through meaningful conversation. You know, the more advanced we get in technology and all of this stuff, it just seems like the more we're losing our ability to have meaningful relationships with people. To look people in the eye, to listen, to hear what they have to say, and then to converse on some meaningful level. When's the last time good conversationalist? You know, there are people that just know how to keep the conversation moving, and they do it in a good way. That's kind of art. Like, that used to be a really prized thing to be able to do, and now I think, by and large, we've so if you ever do meet one, like, they really stand out. You go, my goodness, they're a good conversationalist. And look, if you don't think that we're losing our ability to communicate, find a controversial subject. I don't know, let's say the presidential election. The social media threads. And see how people are talking to each other and about each other. Man, it is a breakdown. Can I say this? It's a breakdown of humanity. It's a breakdown of humanity. But we're the people of God, right? We're the people of God. And so God is a God of relationships. He exists in a plurality. He's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He exists in community. We want to be like him. We want to build relationships like him. So how do you do that? Well, here's what we typically do in, you know, the American culture. Surely you've experienced this. You bump into somebody, and what do you say? Well, not yet. That's point three. But what do we typically do? And what does everybody say? Good, right? Good. Lying. Good. Right? How you doing? Good, yeah. Okay, and then what does the other person do? Good, how you doing? Fine, good. And then what do you say? Bye. See you later. Is that a meaningful conversation? No. Because when we ask, how are you doing, we don't really want to know. You're like, oh my goodness, they took me literally. They thought I really wanted to know, and now here I got all this. Right? So, let me give you some meaningful relationship building questions you can use, and you'll see how they kind of... I'm Jay. I mean, you're not. I am. Have we met before? What's your name? See, that's like 101, right? Anybody can do that. Here's another one. How long have you been at Kingwood? Great. You know, find out a little about it. Tell me about your family. You know, married, single, kids, grandkids, you know. Tell me about your family. What do you do for work? Where are you from? A little bit about history. Where are you from? Where were you raised? Where were you born? By the way, about a third of the people in our community are not from here. They're from somewhere outside of this area and like outside of our state. What do you like to do for fun? That's a good question. Just find it a little bit. For you. All right. Now we're getting a little deeper. Another question. What is God showing you or saying to you lately? Last question, how's your heart? Now, I just want to caution you, don't start with the last two or three. We got a few special people like, what's God been saying to you? What's your name again? No. Don't start there. Or how's your heart? You know, hey, back up the x-ray machine. You know, we never even met. Right? So you want to build familiarity, you want to build trust, you want to build relationship over time, you want to get to know a person. But there are two superpowers in relationships that I promise you would likely improve any and all of your relationships. Here they are, there are two superpowers. It'll help marriage, it'll help parenting, it'll help friendship. Here it is. Listening. Because people don't listen. I mean, just turn the TV on. Nobody listens to anybody anymore anywhere. Listen. I mean, listen, like hear. Don't just let the symbols flow in your ear, but hear. What, even beyond maybe what they're saying, what are they trying to say? Listen. The other one is remember. If you can hear and remember, you have gotten two twin superpowers in relationship. So you can hear somebody say, hey, yeah, you know, my wife, my husband, my kids, well, one of my kids are going to go. What would happen if I remembered that, and the next time I saw them, I said, hey, how did it go? And they're going to look at you and be like, what? Oh, the kids going to have surgery? Yes. Oh, yeah. You know, I'm shocked that you remember. Listening and remembering are absolute powers in building relationships and will help you. So ask the question, look in the eye. Or maybe pray for them later. Can you imagine if every time we gathered as a church, every one of us had one meaningful conversation? Maybe your reaction to that is, I can't remember all that. Can you remember one thing? Nobody has to remember everything. Nobody can remember everything. And the people of Israel building the wall, can you just work on the part of the wall that's outside your front door? Can you imagine if every time we gathered for a life group, every time we gathered for an event, every time we gathered for a ministry team, every time we gathered as a church, can you imagine if we had one 3 or 4 minute meaningful conversation you, we saw a picture of this last Sunday that was absolutely beautiful. Last Sunday night, we had our fall soak service, and we had hundreds of people here who came for prayer, and the prayer team, all the way from the little preschool, you know, kindergarten, elementary, high school, middle school, high school, college, all the way up, teachers, parents, homeschool parents, coaches, administrators, and then all of our ministry team, volunteers and leaders, we just soaked the place in prayer. And the prayer started like this. If the prayer person, team person didn't know the person's name, you tell me your name. What season are you entering? And how can I pray for you? And can I just tell you that we rich and meaningful way that we could be living stones to each other. It was fantastic. So where do we start? Okay, all of you who jumped ahead of me either, where do we start, number three? Come on, don't act shy. Come on, where do we start? Start with hello. Yes, start with hello. August is almost over. This is the last time we're going to talk about this. My concern is that we'll just move on next week to the next thing and, you know, we'll forget. But here's the thing. If you've been tracking with this series, you should have a bunch of hellos under your belt by now, and you should be about ready for lunch. You should be about ready to invite somebody, you know, to have a deeper level conversation or something. But look, here's the thing. We can't stop just because the series goes away, because every Sunday is somebody's Sunday. Every Sunday is somebody's day that they're here for the first time, they're unconnected, they're, you know, alone, there's something going on in their life. Every life group is somebody's time, every ministry team, it's always. You have to continue to think about and to do year-round, because there's always someone unconnected. So this morning, I want to end this service in a really unique way. Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. And so sermons, prayer as a ministry, it ministers God's heart, it ministers God's presence. But there is in Scripture another function that's called examination, where we come before the Lord and we examine our own hearts. And I want to walk you through that this morning and just kind of show you how to do it and then ask the Lord to speak to all of us. Psalm 139:23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. So, we gave everybody in your seat this morning. If you're online, I want to encourage you to grab. Maybe you can tap a note out on your phone, or maybe you can grab a piece of paper and a pen, and you can track with us. But everybody's got one of these living stone handouts in your chair. And you know, listen, I encourage you always to take notes. If you thought that when you came to church God was going to speak to you, wouldn't it be important to write it down? It would, wouldn't it? A pen and something to write with. That's amazing. You did so good. You really did so good today. So what I want to do is I just want to take a few minutes. Yours is blank, because I wanted to just do a question at a time. I have 8 questions. Nobody's going to see them. I'm not asking you to turn them in. I'm not asking you to do anything with it, except just open your heart, allow the Holy Spirit to examine you, and write notes that you want to write. Write the notes that are important to you, and then keep it. This is yours. Nobody else needs to see it, okay? But what I want to do is just take a few minutes, and walk you through this, and let's just have a time of examination, okay? Okay. So number one, do you believe that you need relationships with people in our church? Now, on your paper, you just Yes or no? It's maybe it's not going to work. And then whatever answer you give, I'd like for you to take a minute and just answer why or why not. If you think you do, why do you think you do? And if you think you don't, why do you think you don't? Yet I'll never know. I'll never know what you answer. I don't need to know. But if you just take a minute and write your answer there. Some of these are harder questions, so I'll give you a minute on these. Do you why or why not? Now, for those of you who may be saying, hey, you know, I remember when we did this last year. You don't need to check it again this year. That's what an example. Right? All right, number two. One to ten. So one, like I don't know very many people. I might know a couple people a little bit, but I don't know hardly anybody, or maybe I don't know anybody. Number 10 would be like awesome, you know, feels like I'm in heaven already. So somewhere in between there, score that. Now look, if you're new today, you're probably going to be a one, and that's totally fine. It's totally okay to be a one. Maybe you're not new, and you're, you know, a one or a two or a three. It's totally okay to be a one or two or three. It's not okay to stay there, but it's totally okay to be there today. Relationships with the people in our church. One is low, 10 is high. So just take a minute and pick a number that makes sense to you. Number three. Man, you're like, I went to church and had a test. You know, I didn't know we were gonna do that. Number three. What keeps you from building relationships with people in our church? What are the barriers? Do you say, well I'm new, like I don't have any relatives, you know, in our church, or I'm busy, like life is crazy for me right now, or I don't know what I would say, you know, I don't, but maybe you, to be honest with you, I just don't come often enough. Like if you don't come that often, it's hard to build relationships. I don't know. I don't know what your answer is with people in our church. Are there barriers or obstacles or fears that you may have? What would you say to that? What are those hindrances? Number four, are there any hurts, wounds that are keeping you from building those relationships? So, man, this is the part where you just say, Lord, you know, Holy Spirit, search me. Everybody has relational hurt sometime. And maybe there's a hurt, you know, maybe there's a hurt in this church. Maybe you've been hurt here somehow. And you say, that's really caused me to, you know, to back up. Maybe you were hurt in another church. And you say, it really caused me to, you know, hold people at arm's length because I don't want to do that again. Maybe it has nothing to do with this church or any other. Maybe it was in your family. You know, maybe safe person who wasn't. And that just caused you to distrust people in general. And that's not your fault. But it might be a reality in your life that's just taught you to be separate and independent and like you can't depend on anybody. Maybe that was a lesson you learned in childhood. But as you do this one, when we encounter these kind of things in life, because most of us, when we encounter them, don't know what to do, we just navigate the best we can. To help us to move on in life. And because when most of us experience these things, we don't know what to do, we oftentimes embrace strategies that seem to help in the moment, but in the long run, they isolate us from people. Or they cause us to build a little wall and say, well, I don't want to do that again. I'm not going to let anybody that close again. Or maybe it's an offense. Maybe it's an unresolved conflict, you know? Maybe you have a conflict with somebody here or somewhere else, and you say, I'm just stalling. While you're just sitting here in this moment thinking through this and examining your heart, can I just say to you, the Holy Spirit may very well just be putting His hand on a part of your life, just touching a part of your heart that's either been isolated from Him, or maybe you've been unaware of it. But in this moment, it's like the Holy Spirit's just moving in and saying, that's it, right there. And it's almost like when you get a wound or something on your body and somebody touches it, it's sore, it hurts. And even when the Holy Spirit touches it, sometimes you go, ooh, wow, don't touch that. But the Holy Spirit's the best doctor in the universe. And if He's touching something, He's not touching it because He wants to hurt you. He's touching it because He wants to heal you. But the only way for that to happen is for you to open the door a little wider and say, okay, now, Lord, I'm not going to isolate from You. I'm not going to wall off. I'm not going to hide. Come on. Come on in. Come on in. And so even as we're doing this little survey, what might actually be happening is the Holy Spirit might be coming closer to you and make you a little uncomfortable. Life, and He's speaking peace, and He's speaking healing to come in and produce life inside you. And it might have just taken a moment like this for you to even know that you needed it. And that's okay. It's okay. Just let the wall down. Open the window a little bit. Say, come on. So number five, what are you most afraid of in connecting with others? There's a psychology that says that everybody has one of two base fears, and it is that we're either afraid of being abandoned or afraid of being consumed. And so, you know, if you're afraid of being abandoned, you're like, well, I'm one of my reluctancies to try to build a relationship with someone, a friendship, a spiritual relationship, a meaningful relationship is, I'm just afraid I'm going to take that step and then they're going to be all in for a minute and then they're going to be gone. And maybe you've experienced that in a relationship, someone in your life, and it's kind of taught you that's what people do. Or maybe you're the other way. Maybe you go, man, I'm a little concerned about being consumed. Like you go, man, I'm going to like meet somebody, say hello, go to lunch, like all the things you should. And they're just going to be calling me all the time and emailing me and over, you know what I'm saying? They're going to suffocate me. Probably is somewhere in between those two. Like there are people that will kind of, you know, pull away, and there are people that will sometimes overwhelm you a little bit, but it almost is never as much as our fear is. And that's what we have to understand. So what are you most afraid of? I mean, maybe you're like, I don't know what to say. I don't know, you know, I wouldn't know how to have a conversation. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to meet people. I'm an introvert. What is the fear that's separating you there? Number six, what does God want to do in the lives of others through your gifts? like this church is efficient every time one of us doesn't use the gift that God gave us to build it up. We're missing something. Just like if someone took one of your ears or one of your fingers or one of your toes or took a part of your body is now missing something that it needs to be a whole body. And so you have gifts, you have abilities, and you have strengths, and you have things that God's given you. And have you ever stopped and asked yourself, what might God want to do in someone else's life through you? If you're listing those, it's just to say, let me just list what my strengths or gifts are. Like, what am I going to use me? And maybe just bullet those as they come to you. Two more. Number 7. What is God saying to you right now? So here's what I want to do. I want to take a minute. I want to take 1 minute. In a digital age, 1 minute is like, 3 million years. And what I want you to do is I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you hear what He's saying to you through all of this. It may be something completely different than this. And now maybe you say, man, that's a lot of pressure. What can I do? Like, as far as I know, God's never spoken to me my whole life. Okay, just do this. When we the first thing that comes to your mind. Maybe God speaking to you, and it may be you saying, isn't it about time for lunch? I don't know. But oftentimes, whispering something to me, it's often those first two or three things that come into my mind. And if I'll write it down, settle on it for a minute, He's actually communicating. So we're 1 minute, okay? And we're going to give the Holy Spirit a chance to speak. So let's do that now. Here's the minute. A minute. Okay, last question. What's your next step? Based on what you've heard, what we've taught, what the Holy Spirit may have been speaking to you, what's your next step? The thing is, next week we'll series, but here's the thing. If we just take in this teaching and do nothing with it, it just becomes good information, but it doesn't make a difference. It's not what you hear that changes you, it's what you do. And so when you take in something that God is saying and then you do something, you apply it to your life, it makes a huge difference, especially over time. So what's your next step? Just maybe this is something you'll take home and go, I need to come back to number 8 there. I'm not sure. I need to wrestle with that one. But would you stand with me this morning, and as our worship team's coming, and would you just this is just such an unusual atmosphere and such an unusual moment for us, but would you just give the Holy Spirit the next 2 or 3 minutes during this song? Lord, I thank you today that you are here speaking and you're here ministering. And I know that you've come to do really important things in our life today. And Lord, I pray that you would heal and strengthen and restore and recover and forgive and allow forgiveness to flow. And this would be a healing time.